Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. Final show of the year. Oh, I hope you were with me last week for the penultimate show of the year, for I'd be thrown into functional dyspepsia if I came to learn that you had missed Mastering Millennials. Derek Feldman, co-author of the Millennial Impact Report, shared the research on how 20 to 32-year-olds connect, get involved, and give to causes they're passionate about. And engage by age. Amy Sample Ward, our social media contributor and CEO of N10, the Nonprofit Technology Network, knows which social platforms are best for which ages, and she revealed. She also had tips to engage by age, and of course, her 60-second style stop, which was about sweaters. This week, Dan's donor retention ideas. Your end-of-year campaign got you lots of new donors, of course. How will you keep them? Dan Blakemore is Assistant Director of Development for Individual Giving at International House. We talked at Fundraising Day back in June about how to hold on to your donors from phone to Facebook. This was an archive show from July 15th. Also, goodbye Google Alerts. Will this happen in 2014? Maria Semple, our prospect research contributor and the prospect finder, has free alternatives in case Google Alerts disappears. And this is an archive show from July 12th. Between the guests on Tony's Take Two, two customer service reps got me thinking about solicitations and Facebook ad grants campaign. We're brought to you by Rallybound, peer-to-peer fundraising for runs, walks, and rides, and by TBRC Cost Recovery, getting you money back from phone bill errors and omissions. Here's my interview with Dan Blakemore on donor retention.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of Fundraising Day 2013. We're at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in Midtown, New York City, right in Times Square. With me now is Dan Blakemore. We're going to talk about donor retention. He is Assistant Director of Development, Individual Giving for International House. Dan Blakemore, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Tony. I'm really happy to be here.
My pleasure. What is International House's work?
International House, we are a residential community for international graduate students here in New York City. The residents can be studying pretty much anything at the graduate level as long as they're doing it in New York City and they're eligible to live at the house. We also house interns, trainees, and visiting scholars from around the city.
That sounds like a pretty dynamic place to visit. Are you there? You're sharing meals with them very often?
Oh, yeah. There's a dining room. I usually have lunch every day with other staff members and resident members. Gym facilities, study rooms, computer labs. I mean, we try to have as much in the house as possible for them. So, yes, they have to leave every now and again to go to class or something crazy like that.
Right.
But we really want them to stay in the community as much as possible, learn as much from each other as possible, because our mission is really driven by leadership development and cross-cultural understanding for the residents.
Sounds like an incredible place to visit.
It is.
All over the world, studying all different kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
Here in New York. All right. Your seminar topic is acquisition and retention of donors, but it's a panel, and your expertise is the retention part.
Definitely.
So I'm not going to hold you to the acquisition part. Let's talk about donor retention. Well, social media is a big part of that. I don't know, is telemarketing a part of that? Where do you want to start with retention?
For International House, at least, in my experience, the
yep.
retention has been much more focused around kind of the really, I call it really the basics of good fundraising, good stewardship. Everybody gets a phone call or an email long before they get their acknowledgement from the president or the director of development. We're really trying to focus a lot around showing impact to people so that they are really clear on where their money is going. Because when I started at iHouse, we were in the middle of a multi-year, multi-million dollar challenge grant. And I started, I said, okay, well, what are we doing to show impact to the people that have given already? Because it's going to be much easier to get them to give us an extra $100, an extra $1,000, if they know we're doing the right thing with their money and there's really mm-hmm. something good happening here, than to have to be going out to other people saying, okay, you don't know me, but International House is a great place, give me some money.
Yeah, that's widely recognized that it costs a lot more time and money to acquire a new donor than to keep one.
So I said, what are we really doing? And
yeah.
we weren't doing as much. So I really one of the things I've been happy to do in my 3.5 years there is really focus us on a sustainable stewardship program so that we're really engaging people, whether they are named room donors from 20 years ago to someone who set up a scholarship fund last year, that they're hearing from us, that they know that the money they've given in the past is really having an impact, and of course encouraging them to continue giving because we got to keep the doors open. We got to keep the residents exposed to their all the programs we're providing to encourage their leadership.
You mentioned a telephone call. Who would make that telephone call to donors to thank them?
In the lion's share of cases, it's me. I'm Assistant Director of Development for Individual Giving. But there are some...
I said your title once, Dan.
Yes.
You don't need to drop name-dropping yourself. It's getting ridiculous already. We're not even 5 minutes into this thing. Already we've heard his title twice.
Thank you,
this
Tony.
Is gonna keep
of course,
up, I'm
of course.
If this keeps up, I'm shutting your mic off. Okay.
but there are some that I usually will save for the Director of Development or our President, especially kind of long, generous loyalty donors, alumni that are much older and have been giving to us for decades that I think should at some point hear from the President. It's not usually a much more of a nice treat for them to kind of share their experience of what they remember from when they lived at the house, but also then know that the President is saying, really, we appreciate your support, we value it, please keep giving, and thank you. I think that's important.
I think the backdrop is closing in on us a little bit. So, no, I don't know if you have to move, but the backdrop is being encroached from the other side.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what they're trying to get more space. They want an 11x10 booth. They were allocated a 10x10. They want an 11x10. all right. That doesn't matter. We continue. I mean, we've had earthquakes. We've had raffles going on. The lights have gone off today multiple times.
I'm not surprised.
Not our floodlights.
Okay.
Do board members? Do you ever engage board members for these thank you calls?
Occasionally. I mean, I'm working one of my many goals probably in the next year or two, also because our long-serving president is retiring in the next few months. So I really want to try to get, especially starting with the members of our development committee, more involved with fundraising, just because some have been very concerned or worried about, oh, well, I don't have nearly as many friends who are rich that can come to the gala or can make a gift at $5,000 level every year. So I just can't be helpful with fundraising.
And it's not true.
It's much more. So I'm working with them to kind of open their eyes to, well, really, if you just make thank you calls and share your experience, share with the donors why you're on the board, ask them why they're giving, that's easy. You don't need to write a check. You don't need to harass anybody else. And that does not mean I don't want you to get your wealthy friends to come to our special events or to come to speaker programs and meet residents. But it's really about kind of opening up that fundraising experience, letting them see that there's a whole lot more to the process than just begging your friends to give you some money.
Okay. All right. Very much a personal touch is what you're trying to bring.
Hopefully.
Okay. Okay. Let's go online to some social media. What do you like to do on Facebook
to keep
donors?
All social media for us is challenging, I would say, because by virtue of the kind of nonprofit that our key audiences are always residents that currently live in the house, alumni, donors, trustees, other people that know of our work. So we're always kind of throwing different messages for different populations all on the same channels because they're all there. It would probably be nicer if we could say all the alumni are only on Facebook or all the trustees are only on Twitter.
That's not realistic, though.
Unfortunately, that is not realistic.
You got to go to them where they are.
Exactly. So I think it's been a lot of integration, to say the least. Whether it's the Facebook groups, like right now, I know we have an alumni reunion coming up next weekend, and kind of a lot of the momentum for it really started on Facebook. The alums who are the co-chairs of the reunion committee really kind of, they started their own subgroup within our group that was, okay, everybody who's coming, make sure you get your registrations in, make sure you consider making a gift along with your registration. These are all the events we have going on. We hope to see you there. Bring your kids. If there's someone that you lost touch with, we'll see if we can reconnect you with them. Is there someone you know who doesn't hear from the house anymore? make sure you have them send us their new information.
So you're happy to have them piggyback on.
Oh yeah, please.
On International House's Facebook page.
Oh, that makes
not like you know it's a violation of policy or something.
No, I mean it's much better for us to have them out there doing it, getting the message to their friends who, while I'm sure the bulk of them have liked our page, generally know what we're talking about, but they're always going to be much more responsive to someone that they know personally.
Yeah,
than
of course.
Me or the director of development or the alumni relations director putting something up saying, hope we see you at the reunion. They're going to say, oh, yeah, the reunion's happening. Okay.
But I think the point is that degree of flexibility.
Yes.
That when someone wants to take the ball, including using your, you know, piggybacking on your organization fundraising page, you allowed it.
Oh, of course. I mean, we want them to feel comfortable putting those messages out because those people who are pushing the message out are going to be much more effective in their outreach than we could ever be.
They're talking to their friends.
Exactly.
As close as you get, you know, you won't ever have the relationship that they have with their friends.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you need a business plan that can guide your company's growth? Covenant 7 will help bring the changes you need. We are small business consultants and we pay attention to the details you may miss. Our coaching and consultant services are guaranteed to lead to right growth for your business. Call us at 917-833-4860 for a no obligation free consultation. Check out our website at www.covenant7.com.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Have other online strategies?
Where
else you want to look?
We're dipping toes. I mean, we're on Twitter, and a lot of the messaging there has been focused around current events happening at the house, kind of as they're happening. So there has been some live tweeting. I know we did some live tweeting of our gala that was on Tuesday because we were honoring big named. I can do more name dropping if you so desire.
Go ahead, drop one. As long as it's not yours. My problem was you're promoting yourself. It's a good thing you haven't written a book yet. You would have heard that six times by now. We're 10 minutes in. I would have heard the title six times.
No, I have a long way to go before I'm writing a book. But Fareed Zakaria is one of our trustees.
Oh, outstanding. CNN?
And yes, from Fareed Zakaria GPS on CNN on Sundays. He was one of the people we were honoring. He's been on our board for 10 years. So he got our award for promoting international understanding. So he was among the very impressive groups that were there. So I know there was some of the trustees were live tweeting, but also we were live tweeting from the institutional account.
Okay.
Just so that people could see, oh, this is really happening. Oh, Fareed Zakaria is getting his award. And oh, Paul Volcker's speaking. And oh, okay.
And how do you feel this all relates back to donor retention?
I think it relates back because things like live tweeting let people see things are actually happening. Let them see that we brought a group of residents there to make sure that the special event donors really get a clear understanding of the house and what it is our really mission is all about. Because it's one thing to have a special event, raise all this money, and then everybody goes home and feels fine. But it's always been a priority for us to make sure that the residents are there so they can, so that the donors can meet them, because a lot of special event donors, by virtue of not being annual fund donors per se, are not necessarily being alums, do not come to a lot of our events. So we're trying to capitalize on the opportunity of having them all in one space to say, here, meet some of our impressive scholarship recipients. Here, meet some of the residents that have done really impressive things and have plenty more to do in their careers, so that they can really start to see the value that they're providing to our community.
And for those who can't come, you're able to engage them.
They can see it on Twitter. They can see it on Facebook. As more photos are coming in from the photographer, we're trying to push those right back out through links on our website and through Facebook and Twitter, so people will, can they say, oh, or if you were there or you know someone who was there, you can go through the photos and say, oh, so-and-so got to talk to Fareed Zakari. Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it meets a lot of different purposes without nearly as much effort as it could take.
What is International House doing that's, you think, really exemplary in donor retention that you want to share?
Exemplary in donor retention? That's a very good question. Well, that could be another opportunity for me to pat myself on the back. So I'm going to seize on this because you set me up perfectly, Tony. I would think the one-on-one reporting we're doing now for scholarship recipients, because there are a lot of scholarship funds that have been created probably in the last 40 years, some through capital campaigns, some kind of much more independently as someone gets to that point in the major gift cultivation process that they decide they want to create a scholarship fund. That stewardship has really been important for us because a lot of those donors, again, are not in New York City, don't get to come to our events or meet residents at all. And the residents are, in the spring is usually when I get to do all my interviews with scholarship recipients, and I really enjoy it, for one, just because in the development office there's so few opportunities to just engage with residents and just kind of hear about what are they studying, what do they want to do in their careers. But this is a great opportunity to kind of talk to them, get their story, figure out what it is they're really focused on, and then be able to share that information with a donor who can say, oh, I made a gift 5 years ago of $15,000, and it's supporting great people like this. So especially, I think it's even more important for people who are not in the New York area than for those who usually do come to events and kind of have a feel for the people that live at the house. Because I think we've gotten some really positive feedback from people about, oh, I had forgotten about this, or, oh, this has been so interesting and engaging. I feel like I'm really a part of what's going on at the house, even if I live in another country. And for us, that's the heart of it. I mean, because we have alumni spread out literally around the world.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep them engaged, keep them feeling connected to the work that's happening in New York, while there are also alumni events going on all over the world. But they don't always get to meet the residents.
This reporting, let's broaden it for nonprofits that may not have alumni and scholarships.
Yes, yes.
They may be in something different. I mean, you're essentially talking about outcomes reporting.
Yes, letting them really see, okay, your fund of $15,000 produced, let's say, $2,000 in the last year. That $2,000 supported two or three residents, and these are what they're going for in their careers. This is what they're studying. And this is what they've done in the last 2 years while they lived at the house that has really changed, exposed them, opened their eyes to different cultures, expanded their horizons, and let them see a lot more potential in the areas they want to work.
Those are all valuable outcomes, impacts, that donors are now, within the past 4 or 5 years.
Much more interested in.
That's right. Yeah, of course. Other methods of sharing impact at a place like International House?
We've been experimenting with some video. I'd like to do more.
We're on video right now, of course.
Well, but this is not. I'm not going to share. I'm not going to send this out to any donors because they're not going to be interested.
If anything, it will hurt your. I don't want to hurt your giving stats.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
But no, it's really more because in the last, I think 2 years ago, some residents actually created their own video. Just to kind of encapsulate their iHouse experience that we've been able to use from YouTube.
Okay.
But I'd really like to do something probably every year, every 2 years, that may be some scholarship residents talking about their experience. We have a whole lot of some of the different participants in the leadership programs, just so that people outside of New York and don't get to be there really just get to see and even for use at special events where people don't know what it is we do. It's an easy way to say, watch this for 2 minutes. At least you'll have a flavor for what it is we do, the caliber of people that live there, and the really impressive people that also have participated in our programs.
Yeah. How many residents are there?
In a given calendar year, yeah. It's usually between 700 and 1,000.
Oh, my gosh. It's much bigger than I thought.
And 70% of the resident population is always international. We usually try to keep it to 70% international, 30% domestic. And they can stay for as short as 30 days and as long as 3 years.
And is there just one location, or do you have multiple residences?
There are multiple international houses. We're the only one in New York. We've been open. We will be 90 next year.
Excellent. Where is it in New York?
We are on Riverside Drive, almost diagonal from Grant's Tomb, and next across the park from Riverside Church.
Oh man, view of the Hudson.
We have great. Some of the residents have amazing views across the river. Some have great views through Sakura Park and onto Riverside Church or Grant's Tomb. It's some nice views considering where you are. One of the many things we're doing for the residents as a part of our operating support, in addition to scholarships and fellowships that we provide to help them put on programming for their community. We're usually subsidizing residents by at least $2,500 per resident based on what they would be paying to live in the same area, have the same amenities at their immediate disposal.
Okay.
And that's really important to us, in addition to providing between $400,000 and $500,000 a year in scholarships and fellowships.
Yeah.
So that it's easier for them to participate in the community, because we really believe that they get the most out of their time there by being engaged in the community, by attending programs, getting to know other people from other parts of the world. Because our alumni are always very proud to go out and then say, oh, if I find myself in Sri Lanka, I've got 5 people I know. If I find myself in Djibouti, I know 3 people.
Yeah. I've been to Sri Lanka, by the way. I was in Colombo, was the capital.
And then
I went north into the jungle, into Anamarapura.
Good Lord.
Sri Lanka. I spent about better part of a week. Yeah, about 5 days or so
Sri
Lanka.
You're more well-traveled than I thought, Tony.
Let's bring it back to donor retention.
Yes.
how important do you think the annual fund is?
For us.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean the annual fund. I meant the annual report.
Oh.
How important is that to donor engagement and retention?
I'm probably going to have to say, on some levels, very important. But to other people, totally inconsequential. I mean, I think for the higher level donors, it's always going to be of interest to at least be able to have something tangible and see while in a meeting. Oh, this is last year's annual report, and this is what we met these big objectives. Here's some photos. Here's the important financials. We added these people to the board, and they're bringing all this extra capacity to what we're doing. But I think also for the annual fund donor who's giving $100 a year, I don't think they are, in my experience at least working with them, they seem to be less interested in that. It's much more,
okay,
tell me about the residents and what they're doing, and much less of the hardcore metrics, hardcore financials, what's really actually happening.
Okay.
But that is obviously a generalization, because we have thousands of donors.
Sure. All right. What about the iHouse website?
The iHouse website?
In terms of, not don't just describe it, but in terms of donor engagement and retention.
Because we recently released a new website, unveiled it rather, and we were very intentional about providing one specific area where we are sharing quotes from residents. I don't think we have any video clips up yet, but that's one of my goals for the next fiscal year. That's really focused about how do your gifts impact this community and what does it mean?
Yeah.
I'm hoping for the future going forward, people will be able to go to the website and really be able to see very clearly, if I give International House $100, what am I supporting? And to know reasonably, okay, it's going to be supporting leadership programs, scholarships, fellowships, the outings that we do all over the city and within the region for people to learn more about the city and the U.S., but also have those opportunities to get to know each other.
That noise behind Dan is a spinning wheel. the booth adjacent to ours is giving away either caps, t-shirts, mugs, or a chance to win an iPad.
Yes,
and you spin the wheel for the chance, and that's what that's what you were hearing.
So yes, we're not having
Dan does not have any kind of speech impediment. There's I have this ability to make a Native American, I don't know, clicking sound while he's talking and speaking code. There was no code underlying what Dan was saying. It's strictly a raffle wheel.
Thank you for that clarification.
Very talented man, but does not do the clicking sounds as he's...
Not yet.
Otherwise, I think you'd be working for the National Security Agency if you were able to do that.
I'll take it.
All right. Let's see. Well, let's donor retention. Let's leave listeners with one more thing they should be doing. For small and mid-sized shops, you know, not alumni-related like International House.
I would say be sure that you are tracking when you send out whatever sort of fundraising appeals you're sending out, whether they're direct mail, email, web-based. Make sure you're tracking who they came from, what's kind of the tone that you're taking, whether you're talking specifically about impact or just really about good works. And then kind of the basic metrics of response rates. So you can be able to compare over maybe 2 to 3 years to say, okay, are more donors responding to a message from a trustee? Are more donors responding to a message from the president of the board? Someone who has actually benefited from our programs? And if we're talking specifically about impact, do a certain kind of donor respond to that one? And because all of this information really will help you better cater your message to the various constituencies that you have. Because if you know certain donors on a regular appeal will give you $50, but when you talk specifically about you provide a clear picture of one resident or one person who has benefited from your cause, they'll go from $50 to $100, then you know you need to keep sending them impact pieces and not just generic ask pieces. So that's an easy rule of the road.
Well, we can explore that a little bit more. We got a couple minutes. You're basically talking about testing.
Yes.
Right? Say a little more about how you conduct your tests.
For me, thus far it's really been able to look back at, I think I usually go at least 4 or 5 years back to say, okay, which appeals, what was really the response rate? Let's see, how many people were we mailing to? What did that mean? And then say how much money was raised, obviously, average gift per donor, and then kind of try to figure out, even though it is every appeal is always different, it's hard to pin the differences on any one thing. But if you're seeing a trend that people are responding more to appeals from members of the Board of Trustees, then you know that obviously needs to be something you're focused more on.
But you have to set up a method of tracking these things.
Well, yes. I mean, for me, I do something. I keep it very basic. I usually track it all in Excel, whether it's the response rates, the authors, kind of the tone.
What other variables do you try to control for?
Still average gift per donor, the number of donors that actually responded, the number of gifts, just so that you know. It's much more about having as much information as possible, because you could even see in the economic downturn, yes, while we may not have received as many gifts, the percentages still stayed reasonably around what our averages have been. So it was an opportunity to say, yes, our totals are down like everyone else's in America, but people are still giving at or above the usual rates, so we really don't have it's not like we lost 15% of our donor base, just because the economy was a mess.
And then this way, you also have this data that you can go to your supervisors with, your board with, to justify perhaps increases in spending in certain ways by saying, you know, we've got the evidence that more money spent here is very, very likely
to
bear more.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay.
All right, we're going to leave it there, Dan Blakemore.
Well, that sounds good to me. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you and get to your listeners, Tony.
My pleasure. We're connected in lots of different ways on the social networks.
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's good to see you in person again.
Dan
Blakemore is the Assistant Director of Development for Individual Giving at International House in New York City. And we're in New York City with live coverage of Fundraising Day 2013. Thank you very much for being with us.
Very happy to provide that from Dan Blakemore. Very smart guy. Let's do some live listener love. We've got the Netherlands checking in. We've got Seoul, Korea, and Hanam, Korea. Annyeonghaseyo. Ni hao for all our visitors from China, Beijing, Chongqing, and Xinhuangdao. Welcome. Munich, Germany checking in. Also, I missed a couple. Shanghai and Zhengzhou, China. Here in the U.S., New Bern, North Carolina, and someone masked on iTunes Radio. Can't tell what city you're from, but live listener love. I'm able to go to conferences like Fundraising Day, I did in June, and get recordings like I did with Dan Blakemore and about a dozen others that day, because we have sponsors, and I'm very grateful to our two current sponsors, Rallybound, rallybound.com. They make reliable and very simple to use peer-to-peer fundraising software. It's friends asking friends to give to your cause through runs, walks, rides, races. As a nonprofit listener, Rotten Profit Radio listener, you will get a discount. You can pick up the phone and talk to Joe McGee. He's the one who will help you set up your campaign. You can reach them at 888-767-9076. I've talked to Joe McGee. I've worked with Joe McGee. Very good guy. I've met the CEO at Rallybound, Shmuley, also a very good guy. If you don't want to talk, you can check them out on the website, as I said, rallybound.com. TBRC Cost Recovery, also supporting the show. Yosef Rabinowitz, he will go over your past phone bills, and he's looking for errors, omissions, services that you didn't order, and well above market pricing. And when he finds them, which he does over 90% of the time, he picks up the phone, and he's the one who fights the phone company to get you the money back that you deserve. He had told me about a nonprofit that he saved very close to $12,000 for, because he found over $300 a month in mistaken charges, and he was able to go back 3 years, yielded the nonprofit roughly $12,000. And I think it's very telling that that referral to the nonprofit came from someone who used to work at a company that Yosef had done telephone bill consulting for. That was the company, you heard me that mentioned this last week, they were making a part for the Mars rover. And the woman was so impressed that when she moved to a nonprofit, she referred TBRC and Yosef, and that's when they got that $12,000 savings. You only pay Yosef if he actually gets you cash back. I've known him for almost 10 years. He is at tbrc.com or 212-644-9000, which could also be 212-644-9000, but I like the English way, 644-9000 with the 212 area code. Tony's Take Two. Some customer service reps, one at Best Buy and the Port Authority, the AirTrain from JFK, got me thinking that in your solicitations, you need to ask for exactly what you want and ask confidently and not humbly and simply. And that's what those two customer service reps did, and got me thinking there's a lesson there for our fundraising solicitations. There's much more on that at my blog, which is tonymartinetti.com. Also, Deborah Askenaze, our social media contributor. Our social media presenter. She does the social media for the show. Our social media contributor is Amy Sample Ward. But Deborah Askenaze does the social media for the show. And on her blog, she talks this week about Facebook ad grants for nonprofits. So much more of Facebook is ad-driven now that they have a new algorithm for what gets seen in people's news feeds. And so you're probably seeing your reach dropping drastically. And that makes Facebook now pretty much a pay-to-play place. And nonprofits need some help with that. So Deborah is suggesting that Facebook give ad grants to nonprofits. And there's more on that on her blog, which is communityorganizer20.com. Community Organizer, the number two, the number zero.com. That is Tony's Take Two for Friday, 20th of December, 49th and final show of the year. I don't know why we didn't get 50 shows this year. I don't know if I miscounted or we got screwed. I don't know. But I count 49. We'll have to look into that. But this is definitely the final show of the year. And here is Maria Semple what happens if goodbye Google Alerts happens in 2014? Maria Semple's with us to talk about the possibility of Google Alerts going goodbye. How are you, Maria Semple?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you today?
I'm terrific, thank you. We know Maria. She's the Prospect Finder. She's a trainer and speaker on prospect research. Her website is theprospectfinder.com, and her book is Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now. She's our doyen of dirt cheap and free, and she's going to prove that today. She's going to live up to it. You can follow Maria on Twitter, at Maria Semple. I see some disenchantment with Google Alerts. Is that part of the problem?
Yes. You know, there has been some disenchantment with it. I've been seeing other colleagues in the prospect research profession kind of complaining about the alerts not working as well and so forth. And, you know, I had found that myself. And we've talked about this before, right, Tony, on your shows where, you know, talked about how to tweak the alerts and maybe you'll get more results. But now I've actually started seeing some articles in recent months. Though nothing has been confirmed by Google that I could find on their own website, that have said that Google Alerts might actually be dying off. It might just go away. It might not be something they offer anymore. And
yeah,
that got me quite concerned.
Okay, because it seems like they're not really maintaining it, because the number of people are complaining that the number of alerts they're getting has been reduced, and the number of alerts within each message has been reduced, and the ones that they're getting are not so good quality, not like they used to be.
Right, exactly. So I thought, well, there must be some alternatives out there, and fortunately, some of the articles that I referenced, which, by the way, I can provide those article links, if you like, on your social media sites, Tony, so your readers will have access to them.
Thank you.
They gave some interesting alternatives, and I started playing around with them a little bit myself in preparation for today's show. So I thought we could just sort of talk about what some of those alternatives are and also what you want to be setting up alerts on.
Right. I'm sure that we can do that. So you're promising, I think, all free ideas today?
Yeah, well, I'm going to provide you with some alternatives that all have free components to it.
Okay.
And then if people feel like those alerts aren't yielding enough results, they could always go with some of the fee-based resources that those components also offer. So I like to give your listeners options, shall we say.
Okay. There are listeners, Maria. Our listeners, please. Share the listener love. There are listeners. Okay. So what's the first one you want to talk about?
So one interesting one I came across that I've been testing for a few weeks, actually, is called TalkWalker.com.
Okay.
So they have free alerts that you can set up. They have a fee-based online service, but from what I have found in using it for the last couple weeks, I've been getting alerts from them on the same exact alerts that I have set up on my Google Alerts account.
Yes.
And the results definitely have been different, I can say that.
Huh. Okay, it's not supposed to be that way, but if Google is not keeping up or maintaining its alerts, then I guess that's the explanation. What is it you like about TalkWalker?
Well, I like the fact that you can set up those alerts for free. You can still have those alerts delivered to your email inbox. So, again, it's sort of that push technology that we've talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Set it up once. Once you've got it set up the way you want it, it'll just keep delivering those results to your inbox. So I really like that feature very much on TalkWalker.
Okay.
Also, you set it up to be able to send it to you as an alert as often as you like. You know, you can set it up to, you know, once a day, as it happens, or once a week. So you've got a few options there in how often you get those alerts delivered, very much like Google. So
yeah.
I think anybody who's familiar with Google Alerts, they're going to find this interface to be very similar.
So the interface is similar, but the quality of the results is much better. You're seeing a difference, obviously.
Yeah, I have been seeing a difference. I've been finding more alerts that are coming through where there are mentions on blogs and some other social media-related sites. So I thought that was definitely kind of interesting there.
Okay.
How those alerts are coming through and how it seemed to expand upon just the number of sources that it seemed to be picking up on. For example, I have an alert set up on my name, and there's an author, Maria Semple. We've talked about this before. Mm. And so I was able to filter out the results where her book title was also mentioned in the search results, much like I would do for a Google alert, for example.
So is the shortcoming that you see, or part of the shortcoming that you see in the Google alerts, is that it's not indexing and searching blogs, or...
Yeah, services that I've looked into seem to be covering more on the social mentions side, which, as you know, could be really important for a nonprofit to be monitoring when they're, you know, looking to monitor their own brand or who's talking about them on social. So I thought that was really pretty cool.
Okay, and you're not seeing those results in the Google alerts?
Not as extensive,
yeah.
No.
Okay, interesting. So you're doing a side-by-side comparison, because you said the alerts you're setting on these test sites are the same as the ones you have set for Google. Okay, very interesting.
Right, and the only one that I've set up for the last few weeks is on the TalkWalker site, and the other two that I really kind of tested out in preparation for today's show, I did it more as, live looking at the search results, and I did look at your name to see where some of this came up on social, one of the other sites that we'll talk about called mention.net.
Is that the only one where I...
definitely different.
Is that the only one where I appeared as on Mention, or that's the only one where you set the alert for me?
That was the one where I set up the alert for you. And then, yeah, definitely that was one where I set up to look at Tony Martinetti, and I'd noticed something that came up on philanthropy.com for you. And this is on mention.net. This is one we haven't talked about yet.
Well, why don't we move to that one, since it's all about me, and this seems
all about Tony.
This must have been the most interesting site in your search or in your testing, because that's the one where you put me.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, so is it mention.com?
It's actually mention.net.
Okay, mention.net.
Yeah. And so they had a neat analytics tool that was built into it. You can get emailed alerts, which I did not set up the emailed alerts. I was just kind of monitoring what was going on the site itself. The alerts can actually be shared with a team of coworkers. So, I mean, think about this in a team of nonprofits, a nonprofit development team or a development committee or something like that in a smaller nonprofit, where you would want to make sure that people were all sort of aware of where your key donors might be mentioned or where your organization name might be mentioned. So I thought that was a pretty neat feature.
Yeah, saves you having to get the emails and then forward them to people.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. But I understand.
Right. Using yours.
Yes.
I did come across mention of the a tweet that you had sent out about listening to episode 149. I saw you mentioned on a blog for AnnGreenNonprofit.com. I saw your mention on philanthropy.com. Where else did I see? Do you know a person named David Duringer?
No, I don't.
An attorney?
No.
Well, apparently
he's talking about me.
There.
Well, I appreciate it. That's
July 5th.
That's fine.
Yep.
I'm happy to have people talking about me who I don't know. They're the ones who will say the best things, because they don't know me that well. So this actually goes into tweets too. But now I send tweets under my name many a day. Like, I don't know, a dozen a day or something. Would it not be finding those for some reason? Or is it only people talking about me, not my own content? Maybe that's it.
Right. So it was, I just did it on your name. I didn't do it on your Twitter handle. So I did it on Tony / Martinetti is what I'm having it track on mention.net.
Oh, yes.
And so it told me that, for example, 7 hours ago is when you tweeted out that tweet about listen to episode 149, et cetera. So it'll tell you how long ago this mention was also mentioned online.
I see. Okay.
So I just thought it was definitely something that could be interesting for organizations. Where this got me to really thinking it could be fascinating would be an article that I read. I don't know if you picked up on that in the June issue of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. And that particular issue talked a lot about raising money online. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that brought kind of to the forefront for me, the ability to use these alerts, was the organization, the Environmental Defense Fund. I don't know if they're a listener of your show, but it turns out that the article mentions that they've trained their data specialists to scour the internet to find out who is advocating on behalf of the organization online, mm-hmm. and then they conduct research to find out what would persuade the activists to make a first-time gift and then give again.
Hmm. Okay, so
that got me to thinking, wow, this is just sort of a way to find out who's talking about you, perhaps start connecting with them online, bringing it to the attention of your frontline fundraiser that you're being talked about by this particular person, and this could be a real advocate. This could be somebody you should get to know.
Yeah, for sure. That's the value of the prospect research, right? I mean, they're feeding the pipeline with potential prospects, with this, right? Suspects become prospects, or suspects could become prospects. Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, do you see differences between mention and TalkWalker?
Yeah, definitely. The interface is a lot different. I think that people just should take a look at it and see where they're, most comfortable. They do have, as I said, they also provide that emailed alerts and analytics tool. And this company actually does provide certain levels of service so that you can have plans. They range from $6.99 a month to $65 a month. And so, again, there, if you're finding that you really like this service, but you'd like to have many more search results than what you're getting, or you want to track a lot more alerts than maybe you've got 20 donor names you want to track or something like that, then you might have to go into some of the fee-based services.
Ah, okay. So there's limits on the number of alerts for the free.
Yes, this one does limit the alerts.
Okay. We have about a minute before we go away for a couple minutes. Another site you want to talk about besides TalkWalker and Mention?
Yes, there's another one called socialmention.com.
Okay.
And they have a setup that is, again, similar to setting up your Google alerts in terms of being able to set up an advanced search, like the filtering service. And before we go to break, just as a teaser, I'll just say to your listeners, come back, because you'll want to know what we're talking about here when we talk about a passion score for social mention.
Okay. Look at Maria doing a little outro to the break. That's so skilled. Passion score sounds pretty cool. We have passion in the studio every week, I believe. Okay, we're going to take that break that Maria just brought us into, and when we come back, she and I'll keep talking about the alternatives to Google Alerts, just in case they go away. And to me, it sounds like even if Google Alerts doesn't go away, she's got alternatives that seem better. So stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Liebowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
All
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, @MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Claire Meyerhoff from the Plan Giving Agency. If you have big dreams but a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio.
Welcome back to the low-key sesquicentennial, the low-key sesquicentennial show. Maria, why don't you tell us what the passion score is at socialmention.com?
So the passion score, as they define it, they say it's a measure of the likelihood that individuals talking about your brand will do so repeatedly. For example, if you have a small group of very passionate advocates who talk about your products or brand all the time, you will have a higher passion score.
Okay.
So imagine in a situation where you've got people who are just really always tweeting about your organization. These are people that are right there out there. They're advocating. They're retweeting your stuff, etc.
Yeah.
This is something that you want to be aware of.
And this is free. We can get our passion score for free from socialmention.com?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm a little hesitant.
For example, I had gone in and just done a search and put in my name in quotes like I would on an advanced search for Google, because I wanted to search for Maria Semple as a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to knock out any of the search results where that other author was mentioned, so I knew what keywords to put in there to knock out the results. And I came up with a very interesting set of search results, I should say, that included photos that were taken of me speaking by others and posted on Flickr, a video that I had created and placed on YouTube. What else did I come across? Other videos where I appeared, like in a Nonprofit Times interview. So I just kind of left it open for all dates, but you could also, if you find the search results are too high, you can also filter it down and say, well, I'm also only interested in seeing, say, up to the last 30 days worth of results as to where you're mentioned.
Excellent. So do you want to share your passion score?
It said it was 50% when I did that search in that way. So I thought that wasn't too bad.
Okay. I'm gonna try this one. I like this one. And if my passion score is higher than 50, then I'll reveal it. And if it's not, then we'll just forget about it.
Yeah.
We'll just pretend I didn't do it.
And then I thought, well, let me set this up as an alert. And unfortunately, right now, their alert service is disabled. So you can go to the website without having to log in and create an actual account or anything. And you can go ahead and do a search on socialmention.com and see what those search results are and try and filter them down. But in terms of then linking that particular search up to be constantly sent to you through email, like we talked about before,
Yeah. Their
alert service is currently disabled. So it says it's coming up in the next week or so. Maybe they're just revamping it and making it bigger and better. I'm not sure. But that was a little disappointing to see. I couldn't actually test the alerts feature to it.
Okay.
But,
For listeners to understand, we're recording on Tuesday the 9th. So by the time you listen, maybe it'll be back up. But it sounds pretty cool. But can we get the passion score without the alert feature being up?
Yeah, yeah. So I just went to socialmention.com. I put in the search that I was looking for, and it came up with a passion score. And then they come up with something also called a sentiment score.
Oh.
And they say that that's the ratio of mentions that are generally positive to those that are generally negative. And I have no idea how they define positive versus negative. But this was out of the search, the 13, let's see, out of the 26 mentions, they gave me a sentiment score of 13-0, meaning that I guess it was mostly a positive.
I hope that's what the ratio is. Okay, I hope it's positive to negative, not negative to positive, for your benefit.
Right.
I'll tell you
right.
what. Why don't you let's do a little, have a little fun. We only have a few more minutes, and we still want to talk about what you should be monitoring. Why don't you put my name in quotes in socialmention.com? Let's see what we come up with, like passion
okay,
score.
Okay, and I'll put it in as Tony Martinetti.
Right. Passion versus.
And let's see what we come up with.
Versus the other one, sentiment. And okay, but let's move. Let's you and I, and we'll get to that before we go.
87% passion score, Tony.
I killed you. It's a rout.
You did.
It's not even close. It's not even
you
close.
Did. Not even close.
It's a rout. I creamed
not
you.
Not even close.
No, but we shouldn't.
So,
you know, these are vanity metrics. We don't want to get too excited
quotes,
about this.
Tony Martinetti came up with 87%
right.
passion score.
Okay.
Your sentiment score came up as 3-0.
Three? All right, let's not talk about that.
Zero.
The sentiment score clearly is not accurate.
I'm looking at things in here from Fundraising Day in New York. Somebody's got a blog,
right.
some YouTube videos about you.
Well, clearly the sentiment score, that's inaccurate. That, so we dismiss that. That function is not working, clearly. So don't pay any attention to what you get for the sentiment score. The passion score is very accurate. But, you know,
that
these are vanity metrics. 87%,
can you believe that?
These are vanity metrics. We don't pay that much attention. I killed you, but we're not paying that much attention, really, to vanity metrics. It's a smear, but they're not really that important. Let's talk about what we should be monitoring, because we only have a couple minutes left. What should nonprofits be paying attention to and setting in these different at these different sites?
Okay, so the name of your organization, again, here, that'll help point you toward people who are advocates on your behalf. You should be setting up alerts on your top donors. Think about reasons to have to send out and reach out and have a touch point with your donors that don't involve asking them for money. So this might alert you to where your donors are mentioned in the press. It might alert you to somebody having a major appointment or advancement or an appointment to a board of directors somewhere. So your top donors.
Okay.
The companies where your donors work. So again, here, if that's important for you to also maintain a relationship with the company because it's a large corporation, or if it's one of your donors' private companies, that's almost more important, I think, because whatever is happening in that donor's world related to his or her private company, you'd want to know about those major, you know, advancements in the press, for example. So, again, here it's an opportunity for you to perhaps pick up the phone, send out an email, send out a card, something to have some sort of a touch point that you noticed.
Right, and we could add foundations to that too for the same purpose, right? We like
right.
to keep in touch with foundations just like they're people because they're staffed by people.
Mm-hmm.
So foundations that are funding you, you might find a reason to write to them, and you're not sending a request for, you know, a grant proposal.
Exactly.
Okay, we pretty much have to leave it there. Maria, excellent advice as always. Thank you very much. You will find Maria at theprospectfinder.com and also on Twitter at Maria Semple. Thanks, Maria.
Thanks so much.
Excellent. I was reminded of that routing and the passion score. So cool. So cool. Got more live listener love here in the U.S. Lynette Singleton is listening from Lawrenceville, Georgia. I know that because she's using the hashtag nonprofit radio, and we're monitoring it here in the studio. Hello, Lynette. Also, East Lansing, Michigan, Alexandria, Virginia. Live listener love to you. Australia checking in. Craggyburn. I love that some of the towns in Australia. It's just wonderful. I met someone from Bluey's Bay once. It just sounds so nice. Bluey's Bay. She's an artist. But live listener love, whether you're in Virginia, Michigan, Georgia, or Australia. I didn't mention Japan. I got to shout out Japan. Lots of listeners from Japan. Actually, too many to name. So I'm just going to say konnichiwa. Next week, it's Merry Christmas to those who celebrate Christmas. I hope that everyone enjoys the holiday and time off with family. We will be back on January 3rd with consultant Janet Falk. She's talking about your 2014 media relations plan. Also, Amy Sample Ward returns with best social media platforms to watch for in the new year. You have my best wishes for a very, very happy and healthy new year. Really, I hope that it's successful for you. And I hope that you, in the transition between years, get to take a little time and reflect. And I thank you very much for loving Nonprofit Radio in 2013. Thanks so much. Remember, we're brought to you by rallybound.com and tbrc.com. That's Telephone Bill Reduction Consulting. They're very good people. Please talk to them. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is our line producer. The show's social media is by Deborah Askenaze of Community Organizer 2.0. And the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. Our music is by Scott Stein. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. I hope to see you with us on January 3rd, 2014, 1 p.m. Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a female entrepreneur ready to break through? Join us at Sexy Body, Sassy Soul, where women are empowered to ask for and receive what they truly want in love, life, and business. Tune in Thursdays at noon Eastern Time to learn tips and juicy secrets from inspiring women and men who dare to define their success. Get inspired, stay motivated, and define your version of joy and success with Sexy Body, Sassy Soul, every Thursday at noon New York Time on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes. Or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. be happier, and make more money. Improving communications. That's the answer.
TalkingAlternative.com.